Well, I am delighted to continue this study of the exhortations that we find in the letter to the Hebrews. 12 exhortations, all of which begin with these two words, let us do this and let us do that. And those exhortations are the result of our overview of the study of the letter to the Hebrews, in which we discover this wondrous glories of our Lord's high priestly intercession on our behalf, and the wonders and the glories of the new covenant that he mediates on our behalf as well. Not a revamping or a new and improved version of the old covenant, but a holy new covenant, a new covenant in which the law has been transferred from tablets of stone to being written on our hearts and our minds so that we are new creations in Christ. We have a new nature by the Spirit, and so that we are children of God by nature. We are not children of God by probation. It isn't something that we start out in and then we have to work towards. It is something that we are because of the new covenant ministry of our Lord and having to do with his perfect sacrifice. So the high priestly intercession of our Lord, a mediation of a new covenant and a perfect sacrifice that brings us into perfection before God. The sin issue has been dealt with. We are now children of God. We have been given of his Spirit. We've been sealed for salvation. And that's the rest now that we must enter into. The concern, the grave concern for the writer to the Hebrews is that there will be those who hear the gospel, they'll hear the good news, they may make a profession of faith, and they may even be baptized, but fall short of embracing the fullness of that sacrifice and that intercession of their high priest, and continue to rely instead on some form of merit-based religion, because in Judaism, that's what they had become used to. And I would dare say that that's something we have all become used to by nature too. To receive free grace is contrary to our own thinking. We live in a meritocracy. We live and we're told daily that we have what we have because we've earned it. And on that level, on a secular level, that makes some sense. But not before God. Remember, justification is something that was given to us, something that was earned by Christ on our behalf for us. There was nothing we could have done. We were dead in trespasses and sins. It required a sovereign act of God to raise us to new life by his Spirit and impart to us the gift of faith so that we beheld the wonders and the beauty of Christ and placed our faith in him alone. And it is in that singular reliance upon him alone that we find rest. The danger remains, however, that we would fall back or we would come short of that rest, and that we would fall back into a merit-based religion, even something that might look like Christianity. Well, let's look at our text and we'll talk about that more. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." So the chief concern for the writer to the Hebrews is that we not come short of the grace of God, we not come short of that rest that has been so purchased for us at so costly a price as Christ's life himself, his body and his blood. And now he wants us to be certain, to be diligent, in fact, to enter that rest that was purchased. And not to do so, he warns, would be an act of disobedience, an act of rebellion, an act of unbelief. Now, the example of unbelief to which he's referring here, of course, is the wilderness generation. Those who came out of Egypt following Moses, who went through the Red Sea and then perished in the wilderness. That is an example to us of those who follow Moses out of Egypt, go through the Red Sea, which is a type of baptism, and yet perished in the wilderness because of unbelief and disobedience. How does that apply to you and I? Well, there are people who hear the gospel. They may even go as far as to be baptized and make a profession of faith, but they cling to the notion that somehow they must add merit of their own in order to find acceptance with God. It is a fallacious form of religion, but it is also very prevalent. The principle here is that those who come to Christ must come to him fully, must rest in him fully. So a very important point here is this, that unbelief and the disobedience that he's talking about here is not necessarily the gross moral sins that we would normally think of when we think of disobedience. Those are destructive, and certainly we don't want to participate in them. But the context here to the letter to the Hebrews is a unbelief and a disobedience that comes by rejecting the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf and his intercession as our high priest, and adopting some other form of piety that looks back to ourselves. In other words, we know that trusting oneself for salvation is fallacious. That's the basis upon all the world's religions, to trust oneself. There's only two religions in the world, that which is of God's accomplishment and that of human achievement. So the disobedience that we are being called to be leery of here, and we are called to avoid, is the disobedience of some kind of a synergism where we believe that we in Christ, we believe in his sacrifice as being necessary, but not sufficient. That we must add something of our own works, that we must add something of our own merits in order to be saved, in order to be children of God, or in order to remain children of God. There's no rest in that. There's no rest in that whatsoever. Now, this means that we must not be passive. Even though we are passive in justification, there's nothing we could have done. God acted upon us. He raised us to new life in Christ. In sanctification, in working out our justification, working out our that which we've been justified to, being children of God, working out our salvation, we are to be active. We can't earn our justification, but we are to work out our sanctification. I want to be clear about that. We are to be obedient children, those who are actually working out that which God has worked in us by grace. So, how do we do that? How do we display diligence? How do we exercise diligence? Well, that's where we find in Hebrews chapter 4 here, in verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The way that we can find anything in us, whether it's in our remaining flesh or some worldly religion outside of ourselves, or even the lure and temptation of the old angel of light, the serpent himself, who, by the way, specializes in merit-based religion, calling itself Christianity. The way we can avoid getting caught in that is to bring ourselves daily to the Word of God. The Word of God does the work. The Word of God is our sword, whereby, if you will, we sever connection with anything in our flesh, any notion or lure of worldly religion, or any temptation by the devil himself to fall back into some form of piety that is turning us back in on ourselves, to trust in on ourselves and not enter the rest that was so wonderfully purchased for us in Christ. So we come daily to the Word of God. We come daily and we come diligently to the Word of God. Superficiality will not do, beloved. Superficiality will not do. You have to dig into the Word of God. And I don't mean you have to read your Bible 3 or 4 hours a day. Rather, you do have to make it a lifestyle where you're meditating on the Word. In Psalm 1, we're told that the man who is blessed, that the man who prospers most in spirit, soul, mind, and body, is the person who meditates on his law day and night. Well, it's the same principle here. We're talking about a lifestyle of diligence. Not just a diligence to get up and go to church on Sunday morning, but a lifestyle of diligence where we are constantly bringing our minds and our hearts to the Word of God and allowing it to do its work as the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit is the change agent in our lives. And the Word of God is the means, is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to sanctify us, to bring us into a greater awareness of who we are in Christ, to conform us into the moral image of Jesus, and to ensure that we are walking in that rest. So, we enter that rest, and we are to be diligent to enter that rest, not because we have to earn anything from God, but because of the remaining lure of the flesh, the world, and the devil around us that would draw us back into a merit-based religion. That's simple, isn't it? That's clear, isn't it? And it's not easy, however. We must be diligent. So let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall following the same example of disobedience. To fall away from Christ is not to relapse if you're an addict. That's bad enough. To fall away from Christ is not to give in to some besetting sin which you're working hard to overcome. No, to fall away from Christ is to fall away from His perfect, sufficient sacrifice and to adopt wholly some other form of religion, albeit, though it may call itself Christianity, that is in fact a merit-based religion. It's not another version of Christianity. A merit-based religion, even if it calls itself Christianity, it looks like Christianity, it uses symbols and terminologies of Christianity, if it's placing the focus back on you, it's robbing you of the rest in Christ. And it is in fact a wholesale denial of Christ. So be diligent, beloved. Be diligent to rest, to enter that rest that Christ has purchased for you, and bring yourself daily to the Word of God to sever anything in you, to remove yourself from anything of the worldly religion and the religion of the old serpent that would draw you away. Amen.